Get up! Get out of here and go!
Covering the crew all season long on WTMJ, it's Brewers Extra Innings. Now live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios in downtown Milwaukee at The Avenue. Here is your host, Dominic Cotroneo.
Hey, you can't win them all. Law of averages, right? It always comes back down to earth. Today was certainly one of those. Now, it's still a series win. You faced a Cy Young Award winner that you know really well. You gave him all you could handle. You lose 6-4 to the Orioles. All in all, though, really great road trip. Brewers go 4-2 on the road trip against Cincinnati and Baltimore. Of course, there was a rainout in there as well. But a lot to like and a few things to monitor. And we'll jump into all of that here in Brewers Extra Innings. I'm Dominic Cotroneo. Pleased to be joined by former Brewers pitcher Jerry Augustine. Jerry, I know you only played your career with the Brewers. However, you had to have seen catchers that you have played with. I think of like Ted Simmons and guys that maybe go on after they have already caught you. I imagine Corbin Burns seeing the lineup card today with William Contreras at the top of that sheet had to be thinking, oh boy, this is going to be quite the battle right out of the gate. And two pitches into the game, that proved true.
Well, really interesting. Pat Murphy, I thought, made a great move here, making Contreras, who knows Corbin is probably as well as anybody, caught him all of last year. And I thought it was really smart to put Hoskins second, a guy who from Philadelphia had some opportunity to face Corbin Burns in the past. Getting two guys at the top of the lineup that are somewhat know Corbin a little bit, but the leading off Contreras was excellent. And for him to start the game off with a home run, and then Hoskins just about being able to get one, getting something started for his ball club, started the game off on the right note for the Brewers. And I think the one thing that I really liked about the Brewers, Corbin Burns pitched 5 innings, but he pitched a hard 5 innings. He had to work. There wasn't many innings where he wasn't in a little bit of trouble or didn't have guys on base or had to work a little bit harder than he usually do in trying to get through innings. So I thought the Brewers did an excellent job against Corbin Burns.
They were fantastic. Here was the moment in the first inning as called by Lane Grindle.
The 1-0 pitch, and this is driven out to center. Mullins back onto the track at the wall. Gone! William Contreras gets this game started with a bang.
It was a great call, great moment for William. He reached base 3 times today with a walk, even stole a base today. Also had that single in the 9th against Craig Kimbrell. So he finishes 2-for-4, extends his hitting streak to 10 games long right now. I've said it before and I've said it again, and with Augie, with you here now, this conversation is getting more and more real that this dude is the best catcher in baseball, not just the National League. He is in that room, at that table, amongst the best in the game behind the plate.
There's no question. I think we'll see the way he handles himself in the game. And, you know, you can just tell by the way he's catching the ball, he's framing the ball. They said when he came over, he was probably in the lower third at framing the ball. He's in the top 5 or top 3 in all of baseball now. But, you know, he's taking his opportunity to go out and catch every day and make a name for himself in the game of baseball, Major League Baseball, and really taking advantage of it. We know he could swing the bat. We knew he could hit the ball. We knew that. We didn't know exactly how good he was, but he's proven that he's even better than we thought. But I really appreciate what he does behind the plate, calling a game. He called a great game today for Colin Ray. He didn't catch today, but he called a good game each and every time he's in the game. And I'll tell you one thing, you got to like the way he handles himself and the way he handles the pitchers.
He was fantastic. But the story of today's game, though, is that the Brewers, as I mentioned, the law of averages, finally came back down to earth with runners in scoring position. Today, an abysmal 2-for-17 with runners in scoring position. You said it, 5 hard innings for Corbin Burns. Quite frankly, if it wasn't Corbin Burns on the mound and a lesser caliber pitcher, they would not have been 2-for-17 with runners in scoring position today. Corbin Burns had to grit his way through all of it. He was very content with walking guys today and being patient and working counts. The first time through the order, the Brewers did not have a single 3-ball count against him. Then the last 13 batters of this game, 7 of them had a 3-ball count. He started to be very patient, very careful, wasn't going to let the big hit hurt him. And the Brewers really had trouble getting a ball out of the infield too, so he was still pitching very effectively against this team. And even with a 2-for-17 day with runners in scoring position, it drops their season-long average with runners in scoring position by about 15 points. and they still lead all of baseball by 9 points with runners in scoring position. That number is going to fall. We know that, but that just is a reminder of how freakish of a start it has been in clutch situations.
Yeah, I like Global more than work. You talk about Corbin Burns. Everybody gets so dialed into his cut fastball and being able to locate it, and everyone on occasion use a curveball and a little bit of a changeup. Today, he really threw a two-seam sinking style fastball. We don't usually see that a lot out of him. He used that to his advantage today, actually, a few times. But they made him work. They made him go deep in the counts. I think the one thing that they understood about Corbin Burns, that he is such like a surgeon. He cuts the plate and he throws the ball to good strike zones, that if he's throwing that ball in the outside corner, if it's out away a little bit, they took that pitch a lot and got him in counts where he had to work extra hard, like you said, out of the amount of three ball counts that he had later on in the game, was the fact that they got patient at the plate, they stayed off that cutter, and they made him use his curveball. Corbin Burns uses sinking fastball and the sinker that he throws and his curveball much more than he has in the past, and he really needed to do it because the Brewers made him work.
He really did. Let's get to a few texts. 855-616-1620. 855-616-1620. That's the call and text line if you want to join us here on the program. Nice job by the crew running up Burns' pitch count early. A lot of high pitch at bats, especially Sal Frelick 10-pitch AB before Burns was removed. Can't win them all, unfortunately. That one from David up in Superior. How good was the offensive approach today against Burns? It's a bit of a shame. Couldn't find a way to hang on. Seeing as a couple of our more reliable relievers have hit some early speed bumps, do you foresee some shakeups in the roles? We saw one of those shakeups in the roles. That text from Josh in Milwaukee. We'll talk a little bit pitching coming up next. A similar question here as well. I'll take 2 out of 3, but this game was there for the taking. Why Uribe in the 7th? That one from Doug. So let's start breaking down the pitching coming up next. Just getting going here on Brewers Extra Innings. And full disclosure, I've got one eye on the Masters here as well, just like you do as well. I want to remind you that Brewers Extra Innings all season long is brought to you by Fifth Third Bank with a local Milwaukee team. Fifth Third Bank also knows how to hit it out of the park. They've been serving businesses in the area for nearly 15 years, offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making capabilities to help your business succeed. This is commercial banking value that only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, member FDIC. We'll take a breather, take an ID, and then come back after this on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
Welcome back to Brewers Extra Innings.
Brewers fall 6-4 to the Orioles. They still won the series 2-1. Come back home tomorrow for the San Diego Padres, a 3-game set, quick homestand here in Milwaukee. I'm Dominic Catronio. Jerry Augustine is with us here this afternoon. Augie, let's shift over to the pitching, and we marvel at William Contreras hitting the leadoff home run, of course, and the Brewers scraped 3 runs against Corbin Burns, but they also lacked a major thing in today's game, the shutdown inning. Bottom of the 1st inning, a quick response from the Orioles against Colin Ray, an RBI single from Ryan O'Hearn, and then solo homers from Cedric Mullins and O'Hearn again. But then Ray was really good, only allowed 1 other base hit the rest of the way, 5 2/3, and no decision for him. Solo homers don't beat you that bad. 5 of the 7 home runs this series for the Orioles were solo. What did you make of Colin Ray today, and then we'll get into the bullpen a little bit.
I think he threw the ball pretty good when you look at what he did. He had 5 2/3 with the 5 hits and the 3 runs. He gave up the home runs. But it just seemed like he got what Colin Ray does. When you watch him pitch, when he can really dial himself to the outside corners, pitching on the outside, they call it the middle circle of the strike zone, he is really good. And you look at what he did when he gave up the home run to Mullins, and even though one to O'Hearn, he got the ball in that middle plate. I think O'Hearn was a breaking ball. He tried to go backdoor on it, got too much of the plate, and he was able to hit the ball in the ballpark. But, you know, I thought he settled down. I thought he pitched the type of game that he is very capable of. He kept the Brewers in the ballgame, and that's what you want your starting pitcher to do. He's consistently gone out there and thrown the ball very well. I just thought early in the ballgame, he made a couple mistakes in that middle part of the zone that he does every once in a while. Last year we talked about giving up 20-plus home runs, and when you throw the ball in the middle zone, get the ball up, you're going to give some big hits and some big home runs. But like you said, Dom, there were single runs. Keep them to single runs. You always have a chance to win, and Colin did that.
He was great. And sneaky stat about this game, too. He had more swing and miss than Corbin Burns said. Now, granted, I'm not going to say that's going to last the whole season. And Corbin hasn't had as much swing and miss in general at the start of this season. But the fact that Colin Ray, a guy that sinks and cuts and sweeps, just multiple ways to get guys out, I was really impressed. A lot of weak contact after that last home run from O'Hearn as well. Fielded his position extremely well in the sixth inning on that little tweener ground ball between the mound and first base. Yes, he had one walk, and it was the last batter he faced today, but the bullpen cleaned it up behind him. I'm sitting here feeling really good about my prediction during spring training, saying this dude's going to be extremely important for the Brewers, and maybe, in my opinion, the most important starter on the Brewers, not named Freddie Peralta. Because, look, we know Freddie's going to be asked to be extended and asked to continue to go longer. Colin Ray is in that camp, too. He's not going to be a five and dive or face two times through the order and be done anymore. He needs to give them length, and going into the sixth inning today, I thought, is another indicator that the Brewers think extremely highly of Colin Ray.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think when before the season started, like you did, a lot of people have asked me where it's going to be the integral part of this ball club, and the pitching is still an integral part. And I said on the starting rotation, Colin Ray is one of those guys that has proven in the past that he can go out there and keep the team in the ballgame. And like I have said before, if he can keep the ball on that middle circle, the strike zone, he is very good. But I really like about him, Don, is he'll throw the ball down. He'll throw his good sinking fastball down and bring it back off the inside part of the plate. And then when he elevates it, he kind of throws that four-seamer that it gives you a little bit extra. But when he gets the breaking ball over, keeps it to the outside, stays out of that middle part of the plate, he is real good, and he's going to be a big part. Just like I really think, and he didn't have a good outing today, but I think Uribe is going to be such a huge part of this ball club. Today it looked like he just couldn't find it a little bit. He's a little out of sync and wasn't commanding the fast strike zone like he wanted. But he's another guy that when he gets dialed into the zone and stays within the strike zone, he can be very good. But Colin Ray is that key guy in that starting rotation. There's no doubt about it.
Let's get into Uribe a little bit, and then the decision from Pat Murphy to have Uribe pitch the seventh inning. Now, on the surface, I'm trying to think like the manager here and say, okay, yes, it's 8-9 and one due up, but it's going to be righty, lefty, lefty, switch hitter. So another lefty, and then a switch hitter, another lefty. If you bring in, let's say, Hobie Milner right there, he'll face Holiday. They're not going to pinch hit Henderson, and Henderson does no problem with lefties generally in his career. He's a stud at the top of the order for them. Then he got two switch hitters, and quite frankly, Adley's more powerful side is batting right-handed. So I understood not going to Hobie. What I didn't understand, you know, I know Brian Hudson pitched yesterday, and he's learning to be an everyday big leaguer. He's been used a lot. I wonder what the thought was to only have Brian Hudson face Cedric Mullins, a left-handed hitter, in the sixth, and not bring him back out for the seventh, given how valuable he's been for the Brewers. I don't think it was. I'm not trying to, you know, tear down Murphy here, but I'm just trying to say I'm curious to hear the explanation of why not extend Hudson and then let him sit for a couple of days.
I think that was the usage thing. I think that one of the things in Major League Baseball now is how much you've used, and when you look at Hudson, how much he's been in the ball games and pitched. That I think you don't want that guy to be extended. And I thought Murph wanted just come in and get that out in the sixth inning. I thought it was huge that he did. He did exactly what he was supposed to do, and then you bring in Uribe. And let's be honest about Abner Uribe. Here's a guy who's still in his, you know, he's in his second full year of pitching in the major leagues. This is a guy who's got enormous amount of talent. He's got an upside that is as high as anybody you have on your pitching staff. And he's going to have his ups and downs. And when we saw him come in the last few games later in the ballgame for that closer-type situation, how was he? Little erratic, a little not throwing the strikes, not being able to dominate the strike zone like he is, falling behind hitters. And I think when you have a good young pitcher like Uribe, what you try to do is you just don't put him in allow him to constantly go in that situation with that style of pressure. You'll bring him in at different time in the ballgame. Let him get in there. Let him get a fresh inning to do something. And I think that's what Murph was doing there. He's just bringing him a little bit early, get him to that seventh inning, get him through that seventh inning, have a good inning, and get that positive bet back mentally that every pitcher he pitches late in the ballgame needs to have. But that's what I think Murph's thinking was there. I like what he did there by bringing Uribe in. It's just that he just wasn't as sharp as he wanted to be today.
So now Uribe has allowed a run in alternating outings so far this season. Today was game number 6. Didn't allow a run in his first save of the year. gave up the home run to Alonso, and I'm just tipping my cap to Alonso on that one in game two of the year. Then had a zero against the Twins. Then had the shaky one last Friday night against the Mariners. Got back on the saddle against the Reds. And then today gave up the two runs and blew the lead and takes the loss in today's game, blowing the save. When I look at Uribe, I'm a little concerned at the command. And again, I know he's young, like you said. Only 104 stateside professional innings in his career. Barely over 100. And I'm not including the Dominican Summer League in this when you're a teenager just learning how to be a pro. He's barely pitched in a professional setting where the razor's edge is so thin. And here, as we're all watching, if you don't have swing and miss in the big leagues, nobody cares if you're throwing 101. These guys are going to make contact with you. And like you're saying, with that middle circle, Uribe's still going to learn with that and get some seasoning, and that's probably why Murphy wanted to soft land him in the seventh, knowing that maybe if it does go wrong, he would have time to try to tie things up, and they almost did. But Uribe definitely still has a lot of development to do, and that's not a bad thing, but he's going to learn from the best with Devin Williams, who is a couple of lockers down from him.
Well, there's no doubt. I think he's the type of kid that you just – it's got to give him time. You got, and they start him off the season by – he was throwing so good out of spring training, and given that he had that good confidence, given the opportunity, he stepped up right away. Early in the season, he was throwing the ball really well, and you're going to go through it. Every pitcher goes through it, no matter whether you're a rookie or you're a veteran, wisely veteran. You go through the times where you just don't locate the ball very well. I like what they're going to do with him. They're going to have him back and forth and let him do other things. Is he going to be your closer? Is he going to be your setup guy? He can do a lot of different things, and that's flexibility that Abner has is really going to help this ball club. And so I agree with you. I think the up and down part of it is just part of baseball, and he's going to learn. He hasn't pitched a lot of innings, like you just said. It's going to take innings. It's going to take appearances. It's going to take extended appearances over a prolonged period of time for him to understand that you have to go out and be consistent and throw strikes and get ahead of hitters. When he does that, he's very good. He's got the great stuff. We all know that. But it's being able to use that stuff to your abilities and use it to your strengths, and that's what he needs to do.
He's been somebody that the Brewers are going to call on and lean on a lot later this year, just off to a slow start on his first opening day roster. We do want to talk about Hobie Milner, but up against the break, want to get to him coming up after the breather. Also want to remind you that Brewers Extra Innings this season is brought to you in part by Cider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Summer right around the corner. Man, it feels like summer today here. Now through June 15th, Cider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical is offering $1,500 off Central Air Systems. Schedule an appointment today at Cider, SEIDER.com. Again, $1,500 off of Central Air Systems now through June 15th. Cider, SEIDER. Take a breather. We'll come back with more talk. Hobie talks to some other offensive performers today. Brewers fall 6-4 on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
You're listening to Brewers Extra Innings, presented by Fifth Third Bank on WTMJ.
Welcome back. It's a loss. It's not that sad of a flight, though. A 4-2 road trip for the Brewers, and a quick three-gamer here at home against the San Diego Padres, and then they go right back on the road for some central foes against the Cardinals and the Pirates. And we talked about this in yesterday's show, but the Brewers are about to enter a very important stretch of baseball of contending teams that they will be facing. The rotation that they will face this weekend, Joe Musgrove tomorrow, Dylan Cease on Tuesday, and Michael King on Wednesday. So you're seeing the three best for the Padres this week. The Brewers will go with Joe Ross, Wade Miley, and Freddie Peralta. I'm Dom Catronio. Jerry Augustine is still with us as well. Speaking of the pitching, we do have to talk about Hobie Milner. And I said at the top of the show, we are monitoring a few things. We're monitoring Abner Uribe's use. We're also monitoring what the heck's going on with Hobie Milner. I really don't think he's making that bad of pitches, but I wonder if the deception factor has suddenly gone by the wayside, because lefties are now the two homers against lefties, Brent Beatty and Colton Cowser, and there's been a lot of contact against him so far. I'm a little concerned about that. We're going to monitor that. We're not going to overreact to it, but anything jumps out to you, Augie, about what Hobie's been going through these first 2 weeks?
Well, I think one of the things you brought up about him is the breaking ball and how effective he is with his breaking ball, the dropping down that low lower angle pitch that he throws. I think the one thing that he does is his breaking ball is too big. And the one thing that you do when your arm angle is down lower in the delivery, you still stay on top of the ball. And a natural tendency every once in a while that pitchers get from there is to let the wrist get down and stay behind the ball. I think the one thing he's doing, I like his fastball. I like where he's locating the ball. I think he's doing that very good job because I always thought that if he could really dominate on a lefty, the outside part of the plate with his fastball, he'd still be very, very good. And he seems like he's continually doing that. It seems like his location every once in a while isn't there. But I think his breaking ball, it's more of a, we call it, you know, we're calling them from the right-handers, we have a little bit bigger breaking ball, a sweeper. But I think in Kobe, I think with Hobie, is his breaking ball has to be more of a tighter slider, a tighter breaking ball, because he drops down so much, and it looks like it has a bigger break. It just seems like he's getting under the ball, it's getting a little bit of a loop in it, and the players are able to adjust. It's still a pitch that, even though you throw down low three quarters, you still have to stay on top of the ball. It's so easy to get under the ball and sweep under the ball, which makes that breaking ball bigger, and it makes it not as quick, and it spins a lot more. And what he needs to do is stay on top and get that sharpness back, and I think he'll be just fine.
He definitely would like to get some more late deception here. He's had really no swing and miss to speak of at this point in the season, a 3% whiff rate. Now, he got four swings and misses today. Last year it was 20%, which is well below league average, but he's a guy that gets deception and doesn't allow hard contact. He's been giving up hard contact as well. At least he's not the only lefty in that bullpen now with Brian Hudson and how effective he has been. And to clean up Brian Hudson, it would have been three consecutive days for him to pitch today. And I understand, he can't get a guy up three straight days. But look, he only recorded one out yesterday. He threw 13 pitches on Friday. And I'm never, ever, ever going to say a guy is, he should have been pitching. He only threw 17 pitches. It's a long season. Don't want to try to, you know, create something that isn't there. But these are all factors. The Brewers keep track of arms and things of that with the lefties and Hobie and Hudson. I was just openly wondering what those decisions were like for Pat Murphy to go through in the dugout today. Let's shift over back to the offense here. The Brewers, once again, a lot of activity, a lot of base runners. They did the Little League double steal play where the guy stops and the guy from third scores with men on the corners. One guy I want to bring up, though, that's quietly had a great road trip, Blake Perkins. I mean, he gave the Brewers the lead in the seventh with a solo homer, and he went 3-for-4 today, scored two runs. Well, Blake's going to continue to assert himself into this lineup all of a sudden, given we don't know what Christian Yelich's back is going to be treating him like.
I do like him. I like the way he's been playing. You look at what he does out in center field. He covers a lot of ground. He throws the right bases. He understands when he plays center field what's going on and where you have to do if the ball's hit to both sides. He gets a great jump on the ball. Some of the jumps that we saw not only here in Baltimore but in Cincinnati on the ball, he's got great anticipation to get there. But I'll tell you, one thing that's really been surprising is the way he's been swinging the bat. His patience at the plate, had the big home run today, going up there, giving good at-bats. And I agree with you, Dom. I think he's a guy that that is coming around, and since he's been here in Milwaukee, has really done a nice job of going up there, being patient, and doing the best he can, taking advantage of circumstances that you are, understanding the situation, slowing the game down, going out and doing good things for your ball club. And Blake Perkins, I named him as the player of the game. I thought he had a great ball game. Continues to play great defense, and I'll tell you what, he offensively today did a great job.
I've been really liking what we see there. In regards to Yelich, we'll know more tomorrow. There wasn't any regression this weekend, but also would like to see improvement at the same time, too. So we'll learn more coming up tomorrow back in Milwaukee if the Brewers are going to ultimately decide to put him on the IL. They called up Joey Weimer today. I'll have a whole roster segment coming up here in just a moment as well. Other offensive notes today, Sal Frelich, an infield hit, kind of came back down to earth today as well, 1-for-5, ended the game striking out looking against Kimbrel. But hey, he's a future Hall of Famer. We already talked about William. Bryce Terang had that bunt single that rattled Corbin. But I looked down this lineup today, and just wasn't a lot of hard contact after the first two innings or so. Joey Ortiz had the hit-and-run single the other way, and that was really, like, other than Perkins' homer, the last squared-up baseball of the day. And sometimes you just kind of say, all right, you know, it all came crashing down for a day anyway, and Brewers will try to saddle it up and get back to work tomorrow at home.
Well, the team is applying pressure. When you got a guy like Corbin Burns on the mound, you apply pressure, and you know Corbin went five innings, and he had to work to get through five innings. But you know, one thing that we noticed on this road trip, Dom, is that when you each and every lineup, you look up and down the lineup, there's probably only one or two guys like today. Joey Weimer didn't get a base hit. Everybody else got a base hit. They got on base. They applied pressure to the opponent. And I think that's one thing we're seeing about this offense. It's not just two or three guys that are coming up with big hits and home runs and things like that. Yeah, your main guys are your Contreras's, your Adamas's, your Hoskins. Those guys are. But when you look at what this team is doing, it's everybody up and down the lineup doing their thing, getting good at-bats. And I think the one thing that's been impressive on this road trip really is up and down the lineup. How many guys in up and down the lineup get on base or get a base hit? And I think all through the lineups, you see that each and every day. That's a real positive thing for this ball club, putting the ball in play, giving good at-bats, something they really needed to improve on. Yes, running its runners in scoring position were a little bit of a struggle today. I thought Corbin Burns did a great job when he got in trouble. But at the same time, being able to make him work, make him his pitch count up high, get him out of the game in five innings, I thought the Brewers did a good job.
And again, the Brewers just won a series against a team that's certainly going to be in the mix for the AL East all season long. It's really between them and the Yankees, if you ask me. They're one of the best teams in the American League, and they're going to be one of the best teams in the American League for a very long time. Still, 2 for 17 is 2 for 17 with runners in scoring position. But you flush it, you get on the plane, and you come back home. And Jerry Augustine, appreciate your insight as always, my friend. And you know what? You came in and it was a loss. I'm just saying we might have to reevaluate things here.
Oh, I'm going in there. I was going to be on the other day. I got some mix up and I couldn't make it on, but I was going today. Come on, guys, let's go. I mean, I've got a good record going, but you know, a great road trip. You got to look when you play these two teams, Cincinnati, and you go into Baltimore and you win four out of six. That's a really good road trip. This ball club is headed in the right direction.
This is going to be a fun stretch of baseball. We'll find out what you got for the Brew Crew here right now. Jerry Augustine, former Brewer pitcher, joining us here on WTMJ. As you'll pop in all season long. Thanks, Augie.
Good team, Michael.
All right, we'll see him later down the road as well. Up next, we got to get to all the roster. I'm going to spend a whole segment talking about the roster because a lot went down today. A lot of updates that you may not totally understand. Who's coming back? Who's arrived? Who's this guy that they just claimed? All of this stuff. That's coming up next here on WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings.
Let me get to a couple of texts here. Ricky in Honey Creek. Disappointing game. Contreras is on fire. Uribe, not good. Any news on Yelich? Just said, waiting on tomorrow if they're going to put him on the IL or not. Let's shake this off and win tomorrow. This one from Mike in Colorado. Well, you can't win them all. This team has no quit. One more inning, they might have pulled out a win. Loved the excellent decoy double steal to score a run. But a long time since I can remember the Brewers doing that, and the hit-and-run play was excellent. Appreciate the text there. So here's some of the news that we are catching up on today, in case you missed it this morning before the game. And if you saw Joey Weimer, listen to Joey Weimer, like, wait a minute, what the heck happened there? So here were the moves before the game today. The Brewers recalled Joey Weimer from AAA. Optioned Andrew Monasterio down to AAA. Look, Andrew's barely been playing other than opening day, so might as well get him some everyday at-bats down there since Joey Ortiz and Oliver Dunn seem to have platooned out third base right now. They selected Jared Koenig to the 40-man roster, and in order to make room for him on the 40-man, they moved Garrett Mitchell to the 60-day IL. Meanwhile, they also placed J.B. Bukauskas on the injured list, 15-day, for a lat strain. Let me start with the Garrett Mitchell, in case you're wondering. Wait, 60 days, does that mean it's 60 days from today? No, it's 60 days already predated from the time he's spent on the injured list. So that is still a target for May 23rd of when he's eligible to come off the injured list, but the Brewers are expecting right around June 1st, according to Matt Arnold, as he spoke earlier this week about his recovery. So doesn't change prognosis for Garrett Mitchell, just opens up a 40-man spot for now. J.B. Bukauskas has had a torn lat in his past, so he felt it grab. He wanted to get ahead of it ASAP. He is getting an MRI tomorrow here in Milwaukee and then figure out what exactly the timeline is going to be for him. Koenig gives more depth, and oh, by the way, they also DFA'd today the right-hander who, or the lefty who had come up for literally one day in Cincinnati and then was moved back down to AAA and now DFA today. That was Kevin Hergett. I beg your pardon. Kevin Hergett was a DFA today. Never got to do a game. Hopefully he can get back into a 40-man roster somewhere. But the Brewers claimed Corbin Martin off of waivers from the Diamondbacks. And this is where it all kind of ties in with J.B. Bukauskas. J.B. Bukauskas was in the trade for Zach Greinke from the Astros, or from the Diamondbacks to the Astros in 2019. Also in that trade was Corbin Martin. So now both of those guys are here in the Brewers organization. And the Diamondbacks just DFA'd Corbin Martin earlier this week, which didn't make any sense given he was granted a fourth option, a two-time Tommy John arm, and he's still throwing in the upper 90s. So the Brewers saw that. Maybe J.B. got into Matt Arnold's ear and said, "Hey, man, one of my best friends in the Astros organization is suddenly available if you want to grab him." And so now he has been optioned to AAA. So he's in his fourth option year. There will be a decision to be made at the end of the season for Corbin Martin. But there's another right-handed arm that we could see at some point this season. As for Yelich and the outfield picture, we just talked about how great Blake Perkins has been playing. Perkins might be locking down center field until Garrett Mitchell comes back. Then, with the debate of whether or not Weimer or Yelich is going to be here, you know, for the long run, given waiting on Yelly's IL, I imagine if Yelly is placed on the IL, you would just bring back Andrew Monasterio. Or furthermore, you would keep Weimer around because you need some outfield depth now. You've got Churio, you've got Weimer, you've got Perkins, and you've got Frelick. No one really else on this outfield when you have, if you have Yelich on the injured list. Whereas on the infield, you could bring back Monasterio to be a right-handed pinch-hit bat of that sort. So they don't have really any lefty power aside from Jake Bowers unless he starts to tap into that. It was his first homer as a Brewer yesterday. But some other roster thoughts here. Look, this is just kind of kicking the can down the road by putting Garrett on the 60-day IL. In a month and a half's time, when you have to activate him, somebody has to come off the 40-man. And furthermore, in 2 months' time, when Devin comes back, somebody has to come off of the 40-man. More like 2.5 months. You're looking like all-star break-ish time for Devin Williams. But these are why you use the 60-day to try to create space, try to create some spots for guys to find pockets, to be successful, and find a way to contribute to the team. As I look at the Central right now, the Central is still going to be the best division, maybe not just in the National League, but maybe in baseball. First place and last place are separated by 3.5 games right now. Now, the East can certainly be a factor of that in the American League. In the West, yes, the A's are 6-9, but they will fall back down to earth, as will the Angels. They're 7-8. The fact that everybody's 500 or worse in that division will not last all season long. I see so much competitive baseball on the horizon. And just to reiterate, if you missed yesterday's show, let me just give you the upcoming series here. Padres at home, they're a contending team. You go to St. Louis for the weekend. I withhold my judgment on St. Louis, but they're a divisional opponent, and they got voodoo magic down there. The Pittsburgh Pirates, we'll see if it's, you know, pixie dust or if it's for real. A 4-game set in Pittsburgh, tough place to play, pitcher's ballpark, all that jazz. Home for New York, home for Tampa Bay. Both those teams certainly contending. You go to Chicago, first time seeing Council on the other side at Wrigley. Then you go to Kansas City, who quietly is leading the AL Central. They've been one of the best stories early in the season. Then you come back home for St. Louis again, home for Pittsburgh. You go to Houston. They will, I am sure, have rebounded by then. Then you finally get back-to-back series against non-contending teams in the Marlins and the Red Sox. So not for a month and a week will you not play a team that does not have playoff aspirations. A month and a week. This is going to be a massive stretch for the Brewers going up ahead. Maybe Jacob Junis returns during this stretch. Maybe we'll see the major steps forward from guys like D.L. Hall, from guys like Joey Ortiz. Joey Ortiz had a great road trip this week. These are all the things the Brewers are getting ready to package up and hit one of their hardest stretches of the season. Because then, after that Red Sox series at Fenway, they come home for Memorial Day week. Council's return to I almost said it, American Family Field. Home for the White Sox. They stink. I'm sorry. Phillies are good. Tigers are good. Blue Jays are good. Reds are good. So it's real, man. We're into it now. No turning back. It's about to be tough. And the Brewers are going to find out what they're made of here over the next month of games. I'm excited to see it, excited to learn about what this team is made of. We'll hear from the manager, a short session with the manager, Pat Murphy, coming up next, right here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
Now, more Brewers Extra Innings presented by Fifth Third Bank on WTMJ.
Brewers fall 6-4 against one of the best comeback teams in all of baseball the last couple of years. That's now 7 come-from-behind wins this season for the Orioles. They technically were down 1-0 in the first, and they were down 5-4 in the seventh. They've got now 55 since the start of last year. That's the most in Major League Baseball. And now 91 since the start of 2 years ago. Also the most in baseball. So you get my drift. Under Brandon Hyde, that is the Orioles' identity. They are never out of it. They love to come from behind and make teams sweat all the way through 27 outs. But the Brewers still won the series. And also, how about the note that the fact that the Orioles haven't been swept in a series since 2022? That's tough to do. That's very impressive from them. Some other notes from this one. First career leadoff home run from William Contreras. That's really no surprise. First home run allowed by Yennier Cano when Perkins took him deep for the lead in the seventh inning. Obviously, it didn't stick, but that was a significant moment as well. So a 6-4 loss today for the Brewers. Back again tomorrow against the Padres. Getting ready to get on a flight. Here's what Pat Murphy had to say about today's defeat.
Good time for him right there. You know, good time and that part of the order. We all know he faces righties better than lefties, but we were trying to pick a place that everybody was most effective. So we alerted him that tonight this could happen. And, he was ready for it. He had plenty of time. He just, you got to locate that heater a little bit. So he's been great for us, and he'll come back strong.
With his last three outings, it's been they jumped him a little early, and then he's settled in and got the grounders and some swing and miss after that. What have you seen in those first couple hitters for a trend?
No, he's been two strikes on most of them, you know what I mean? And then he's got to put them away. Put them away. And they're ready to hit against him because they know it's 100, you know, and credit to the Orioles. I mean, really, credit to the Orioles.
It seems like you guys executed your game plan against Corbin and really made him work, getting the pitch count up. What did you think about the approach against him?
Well, whenever you're, trying to face a number one, you're trying to do everything you can to pester him and get him off his game. I don't know that we did that. He still pitched 5 innings and kept us to 3 runs. So he made some big pitches at some big times. He really did. I mean, he had second and third, nobody out, and could have folded, and he gave his chance. He gave his team a chance to win with a pop-out, strikeout, strikeout. And so I don't think we beat him. You know what I mean? We had a chance to put it away, and we didn't. And it's credit to him that he really came up big at big times.
Were you happy with the pressure you were able to put on him? Like,
oh, yeah,
you said,
for
you
sure.
You guys had plenty of opportunities and just couldn't.
You know, we've been hitting with runners in scoring position as good as you could ever ask for, 10 or 12 games, and today we didn't. So that's just, it's part of it. Still, a lot of young guys that are doing it for the first time, so this is kind of a good reality check for them. Like, hey, it doesn't always go that way. You know what I mean?
You still win 2 out of 3 in this series, though, so that has to make you happy and continue to kind of do what you guys have done since the beginning.
Yeah, I guess I'm weird about stuff like that. You know what I mean? Like, those two games are gone.
Yeah.
I just think about today, and I'm disappointed that we didn't take advantage when we had opportunities. But again, you got to credit the other team's pretty damn good team. So,
very, very, very good team on the other side. Quick stuff from Pat Murphy today. Some other scores around baseball here before we get into the highlights in our next segment. Here in the Central, the Cubs are leading the Mariners again. It is 3-0 in the bottom of the sixth inning up in the Pacific Northwest. Also here in the division, the White Sox, the Reds, swept the White Sox 11-4. The Reds are now 9-6 on the season. Congratulations to Andrew McCutchen. Collected career home run number 300 today for the Pirates as they win 9-2 in the Battle of Pennsylvania. 92. They're now 11-5. So as you look at things right now, and by the way, the Diamondbacks are beating up on the Cardinals 5-0 out in Arizona in the bottom of the fifth. So the standings up to the very second right now, without those games being final, it is still Pittsburgh by a fraction of a winning percentage that they are trailing the Brewers. Yes, they have more wins, but 11-5 is a .688 winning percentage. 10-4 is a .714 winning percentage. So the Brewers are still technically in a tie for first place with the Pirates. Cincinnati at 9-6, a game and a half back. If the Cubs win today, they will join them at 9-6. And the Cardinals, if they lose today, as they're en route to doing, they will fall to 7-9. And makes it further questioning why they extended Ollie Marmol, but hey, they can do whatever they want to do. Some other scores happening. The Nationals are leading the A's 5-1 out in the Coliseum. Other finals from earlier, Red Sox back on track against the Angels. That was a 5-4 final today for Boston. Brendan Drury hit a homer. Mike Trout hit a triple. He continues to turn back the clock this season. Also, the Mets beat the Royals on the day they retired Doc's number, Dwight Gooden. 2-1 the final for the Mets over the Royals as they calmed down Kansas City's great start. Cole Reagans was fantastic, though. 6 shutout innings with 8 strikeouts. Blue Jays over the Rockies 5-0. Rays over the Giants 9-4. And the Tigers over the Twins 4-3. And then a crazy finish down in Miami, down to their final strike. Marcell Ozuna cranks a 3-run homer to give Atlanta the lead against his former club, Miami, and the Braves would hold on to win 9-7 over the Marlins. Miami is now 3-13 on the season. We will take a breather, come back with some highlights, because there were some highlights in this game. It still was a very fun ball game. Brewers fall 6-4. Back with more after this on WTMJ.
Ready for this?
Get up!
This?
Get up!
And this.
Get out of here,
time for tonight's highlights. Here's Dominic Catronio.
Brew is looking for a sweep, and they're having to do it against a formidable foe. Corbin Burns on the mound for the Orioles. Colin Ray for the Crew. Things got going quickly with a little lineup change today for Pat Murphy. With no Christian Yelich available, try to mix things up at the top of the order. Who better than the guy that saw a lot of Corbin Burns last year, William Contreras.
The 1-0 pitch, and this is driven out to center. Mullins back, onto the track, at the wall, gone! William Contreras gets this game started with a bang!
Lane Grindle's call here on WTMJ, 1-0, 2 pitches into the contest. William's first career leadoff homer. However, the Orioles would respond in the bottom of the first inning, an RBI single from Ryan O'Hearn, and then would add the lead in the second, a solo homer from Cedric Mullins. But the Brewers would find a way to respond in the third against Burns. At this point, he had retired 6 in a row. Leadoff man, though, Blake Perkins singled up the middle. Contreras would strike out this time, though, but first, Perkins would get the second on a disengagement balk violation. A line out to third looked like the inning might be all for naught. Man on second. 2 outs. Sal Frelick hit a little dribbler for an infield hit. That moved Perkins to third base. Men on the corners. 2 outs. How about playing some recess-style baseball?
There goes the runner Frelick. Pitch is low and away. They throw through to second base. Sal stops in between first and second. Breaking for home and scoring is Perkins. Still in a rundown is Frelick. The Brewers have tied the game, and finally Sal tagged out. The Brewers did that exceptionally well.
One of those old-school double steal, just fake out, and the Brewers managed to tie the game against Burns. Credit Perkins with a stolen base. So now it is 2-2. But then the theme would start to begin for the Orioles, continuing to punch back what they do all year long. Ryan O'Hearn hit a solo homer in the third to give them the lead back. It was 3-2. And the Brewers, once again, punched right back in the fourth. Leadoff man Willy Adames, an infield single. He's aboard. Gary Sanchez would draw a walk on 7 pitches. Next up, Bryce Terang trying to be creative and keep Corbin Burns on his toes.
Here it comes, and a ground ball back up the middle, right to the shortstop Henderson. He's going to go home with it, and Contreras will be tagged out. Boy, it was hit right at Henderson, and Contreras breaking on contact, never had a chance.
Got ahead of myself there. That's an inning later when the Brewers were failed to score a run with a runner in scoring position. They went 2-for-17 with runners in scoring position. But here's what the chaos was after a Tarang bunt.
The 1-0 pitch, and this is driven out to center. Mullins back, onto the track, at the wall. Goal!
He squares on the pitch. He bunts it up the third baseline. It's a beauty. Burns picks, throws low to first. He threw it away. It trickles down the right field line. Scoring from second, Adames. Sanchez is up to third, and Bryce Durang ends up at second base. And the Brewers have tied the game at 3 in the fourth inning.
Hey, live radio. You know how it goes sometimes. So it's 3-3 all of a sudden now after that bunt single, and the Brewers were still threatening. They had second and third and nobody out. But again, the runner in scoring position stat that we just gave you. A pop out by Ortiz, a strikeout by Weimer, and a strikeout by Perkins. That was the difference-making moment of the game. The Brewers had second and third and nobody out and failed to push anything across and failed to get a ball out of the infield for that entire frame. But still, it's 3-3, and it would remain that way in the middle portion of this contest. We fast forward to the top of the seventh inning, one of the best relievers in baseball. Yainer Cano on the mound against Blake Perkins.
Cano, big, tall right-hander. The 0-1 pitch. High fly ball deep into right field. Santander, he's back on the track. To the wall. Look out! Look out! That ball's gone! And the Brewers have the lead thanks to Blake Perkins.
A second homer of the season and of the road trip for Perkins. What a moment for him. So the Brewers have the lead 5-4, but they would lose the lead just as quickly in the bottom half of the frame. Three consecutive singles for the Orioles, including the first big league hit for Jackson Holliday, tied the game. Then the Brewers traded 2-for-1 with men on the corners. They turned a double play and allowed the go-ahead run to score. So now it's 5-4, but the Orioles would add insurance in the eighth off of Hobie Milner. Colton Cowser goes yard for a homer. That made it 6-4 and would be ultimately our final score. The Brewers, though, win the series 2-1 over the Orioles. Today's losing pitcher was Abner Uribe as the bullpen wins it for the Orioles. Brewers made Corbin Burns work, but not work enough, as again, they went 2-for-17 with runners in scoring position. Let's preview tomorrow and the brief homestand for the Brewers. Padres coming to town up next here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings.
Welcome back. Final segment here of the program. Like we said, the Padres are in town and they're facing the top three of the rotation: Musgrove, Cease, and King. And then right back on the road to head down to St. Louis. So the schedule up ahead for this week for the Brewers. Back at home tomorrow at 6:40. Coverage will begin at 6:05 right here on WTMJ. Same with Tuesday, and we'll have post-game shows after each of the next two games. Then on Wednesday, it is a 12:10 first pitch, so coverage will begin at 11:35 here on WTMJ. No post-game on Wednesday, but then Thursday, we are Brewers Weekly that night here on WTMJ. That'll be at 8 o'clock Central Time if you want to listen to that or catch it in the podcast as Brewers All Access. Then on the road against St. Louis on Friday, 7:15 is the first pitch on Friday. Coverage will begin at 6 o'clock with Brewers warm-up next Friday night in St. Louis. Then a pair of day games, 1:15 starts for both Saturday and Sunday down in St. Louis, and I will have Brewers warm-up for both of those games at noon of next week. Another note for the Brewers right now as they prepare for a couple of guys maybe to return soon. Trevor Megill pitched yesterday down in AAA Nashville. He is still on the concussion IL. Maybe we see him back at some point this week before or after the off day would be interesting. The Brewers are going to keep with Freddy Peralta on Wednesday, so they don't need that sixth man in the rotation for that day, which means you could fast forward to Friday would be the next time we see D.L. Hall on 6 days rest, and then it'll be Colin Ray on Saturday. So to reiterate, tomorrow, Joe Ross against his former club in the San Diego Padres, the team that originally drafted him. Then on Tuesday, Wade Miley, second start of the season. Wednesday will be Freddy Peralta. Friday, after the off day, will be D.L. Hall. Saturday will be Colin Ray, and then back to Joe Ross a week from today, next Sunday. I also encourage you to stay close to your social media, stay close to WTMJ.com, as our schedule is going to get wonky here moving forward, given the Bucks playoffs are about to begin. The Bucks are also here on WTMJ during the postseason, however long they last, who knows, with Giannis being injured, but them bound for the 3 seed can make things very interesting for them. So we'll know more starting next weekend after the play-in games, who the Bucks will be facing, what games there will be conflicts, and days that we may or may not have post-game shows here, or at least over on ESPN Milwaukee 94.5. And don't worry, all the games will still be archived. When we do have post-game shows, they'll be archived into the Brewers All Access podcast feed. So you won't miss a show there that they're all recorded. And we'll make sure to bring you all the Brewers news that you want all season long. This has been really fun. Fun little road trip. They're going to be on the road a lot here moving forward, but I hope to see you guys at the ballpark this week with some really, really fun pitching matchups, especially with Freddie going on Wednesday. We'll see Cease tomorrow, what the Brewers can do against those guys. And it's going to be good to have a roof. Looks like the one last little gasp of fake winter is going to hit us, you know, in the 40s this week, and then we'll get back into our spring and summer mode here, too. I'm just jealous of looking at the sun out here today that I'm sitting here in the studio and getting ready to enjoy the rest of my Sunday as one eye over here on the Masters. Yeah, Scottie Scheffler's probably going to win this thing unless we see an all-time, Vanderbilt collapse sort of thing, which I'm not expecting from a guy like Scottie Scheffler. But it's been a fun few days out in Baltimore, and the Brewers are 10-4, man. I think if we all sat here at the very beginning of the season and said, hey, they're going to be 10-4. And you say, well, how did they do that? Was it offense? And you say, yes, it was the offense. They have one of the best offenses in baseball. I think you'd be like, all right, great. Well, are they just winning in slugfests? No, they're pitching the ball pretty well, too. So, and you can really even argue, even with all the injuries, there is still hope to say, yes, they're still going to get better when Garrett Mitchell returns, when Devin Williams returns, when Trevor McGill returns a little bit more imminently here as well, when Jacob Junis returns. There are certainly ways for this team to continue to get better throughout the season. Just stay with us. Look, I know if you want to go over and watch the Bucks, I get it. Brewers will be here when you come back. Don't worry. We'll be ready for you. Thanks to Evan Witalison for producing back in our studio. I'm Dom Catronio. Back tomorrow with another show. Until then, keep on swinging.